You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's The Walking Dead After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's The Walking Dead After Show.
We are so excited tonight, guys, because a lot of stuff is happening. A lot of things, mainly between humans and humans, even though we're doing the zombie walk right now. Because, guys, the thing is we're doing the AfterBuzz After Show of Walking Dead. Sitting across from me, the always lovely Kristen Carroll.
Hey, guys.
And next to me, the also lovely Daryl Kristen.
What's up, everybody?
And guys, once again, I'm Dave Klein. And for those of you watching on YouTube or the live chat, you may have noticed our very special guest, Vincent Ward.
Hey.
You may.
Some theme music for you.
You may also just happen to know him as Oscar from Walking Dead.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
so, Oscar, I'm assuming everything's turned out okay. You guys made it past the prison. You guys saved everybody, and you're clearly alive. So things are fine.
Yeah, things are fine. Things are fine. We might have to kill off a few innocent people, but things are fine.
I mean, it's just rednecks that you're throwing out. It's, you know, they were confused. They thought they were cops. It's no big deal.
It happens.
So let's go ahead and jump into the episode and get started. And we're going to start the episode by talking about Andrea's role in the episode and kind of get to the juicy stuff later. So we see Andrea, her first scene is she has been still continuing to sleep with the governor. No surprises there.
Yes.
And she kind of wants to go off on her own when the governor redirects her to go towards Milton and kind of help him out with his experiment that he's doing. And this is a new experiment. I thought he was going to be experimenting on zombies once again, and she was going to find his secret lab of zombie experiments. Mm-hmm. But it turns out that he has an old man, Mr. Coleman, who he is trying to find out if there's any source of memory whatsoever when the guy dies. And I had a lot of flashbacks to the CDC from season one. What did you guys think about this introductory scene to Milton's experiment overall?
At first, I was like, well, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah.
I remember reading about him, but, you know, the governor, nothing really surprises me about him. I mean, with the last episode with his daughter, you know, it's just like, okay, this guy would do anything and manipulate anybody. So mm-hmm. I just think he's the king of manipulation. So
yeah, what a great way to keep Andrea around. You see that Andrea still has this humanity, and here's something he wants to find the humanity still in zombies and see if these people, if there's still a person inside of there, and to bring Andrea into that to see what a great guy he is. He's actually trying right. to figure this out.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't even
he's
think about
his
that.
Bed warm.
But it does rehumanize him to Andrea, especially after the whole fight night thing that yeah. went on that Andrea wasn't happy about. This definitely is sort of a rehumanization moment of the governor deciding to take her there. But what he doesn't realize is what Andrea has seen through the CDC. So let's first talk about Milton's experiment overall. And the whole idea is he has this basis where he's going to ring a bowl, play a certain song that will hopefully reinduce these memories within Mr. Coleman to remember very specific things, who he is, who his wife is, who his kids are. So things that you would think out of anything you're not going to forget. Mm-hmm. And his whole plan is like, okay, once he reanimates, maybe this is what will come back. And Andrea sort of has the insight after being to the CDC and seeing the experiments from the CDC in season one that, no, you sort of lose all brain functionality right. except for that one functionality that has you sort of just moving and being alive. So she kind of calls it from the start. And once he dies, did you guys think there was any chance whatsoever? Because Milton, I mean, they kind of set it up that there might be a chance Milton would be right. Did you guys think there was any chance Milton would be right?
No. I didn't think he was going to.
Me neither.
No.
Yeah.
But ironically, at the beginning, before they really explained what the experiment was, for some reason I thought that the governor's daughter was going to appear somehow and somehow be a part of that experiment with Mr. Coleman. I wasn't sure what angle he would be or she would be, but I thought maybe the governor's daughter might be included in that scene. But we'll see. Maybe in the future.
That's next week.
That's next week.
Spoiler alert.
So let's then talk about what happens right afterwards, which is where he becomes reanimated. He comes back to life, and he is not responding. He's kind of twitching his fingers there a little bit and not really being as responsive as Milton was hoping. And Milton is desperate for some sort of response. He really wanted it. And Andrew's playing kind of the hard figure there, like you can't unleash him, you can't even let his single hand loose, and ends up needing to put the zombie down right after Milton's just desperately trying to get that reaction that he wants. And you can just see Milton's disappointment. He's so disappointed this didn't work.
Yeah, he should have known something was wrong when he heard the guy chomping at him.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, come on, he wasn't doing that before, so.
Where was his duct tape suit? That's what I was wondering, just in case.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. We saw that with Glenn.
I'd play it safe if I were him.
We actually saw that in Glenn. Glenn had some duct tape on him that saved him, so you're right. He should have just had all duct tape suit.
He had it underneath his clothes.
Yeah, that would actually, it's almost like Under Armour. Like, the new form of Under Armour is duct tape armor. Like, why not?
Milton was just naive. Yeah, I mean, she was trying to tell him exactly what he needed to know, and he wasn't hearing it. So, I was waiting for him to get bit anyway. But,
you know, sometimes you have to learn the hard way.
So. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of people, and I like to try and save the comic comparisons for last, but a lot of people are comparing him to a certain character in the comic who we see who's kind of a doctor figure, and I'm wondering if they're going to bring him, have the same sort of things happen to him. So I didn't think he was going to die, but I definitely didn't think the experiment was going to work for him.
Yeah.
And I just want to comment on the live chat. They're questioning if I'm on here. So for the Vestie, I'm calling you out. Please comment about the show. And I'm reading your guys' comments. So if you guys have comments, chat in on the live chat and I'll read you guys out.
Yeah, or call in.
Or call in. Definitely call in. So the final scene in this little moment was Andrea going back to the governor. And you could see that she was really disappointed by this. She went straight for the alcohol.
Yeah.
First thing that she went for. So she was also a lot more upset than I really thought she would be. I thought she kind of was used to it by now, but she's still disappointed by it. I think she maybe was hoping that Milton would prove her wrong.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Andrea, she seems to be... I don't know, all about herself to me. I could be wrong. You know, I'm not. I don't know. It just seemed like she just wants it her way or no way at all. That's just me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She seemed more distraught to me almost. Like, she's just with the experiment. She wants her life to be simple, and I feel like she keeps getting in situations where she's put in these situations where it's not just flowers and roses for her, mm-hmm. you know, and I agree. She probably wants more of it to be about what she wants to do versus helping everybody else.
Mm-hmm. I do want to also mention something I glossed over, which is we got to find out a little bit more about Milton's backstory in these scenes, which is that he has been a loner for his entire life. He has no father or mother. They died when he was young. He had no siblings. He telecommuted to work. So probably just a very smart, nerdy guy who didn't have to deal with people ever. And I'm wondering if maybe this is kind of a nice little haven for him in a sense, because maybe he's a lot bigger of a community figure than he ever used to be, or if that's not a place that he likes to be. But, I mean, what did you think of the character that we found out from Milton and the discovery that we got?
I was kind of wondering also how he met the governor then, because I'm surprised I didn't go into that a little bit more, or if it's something that they're going to be possibly saving for a later episode if they go into that character more. It does explain if he is around people. Every time I watch him, I just feel kind of awkward for him.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't, like, have a backbone. It's just whatever the governor wants, he just goes along with it, so... I don't think he wants any problems. He just wants everything to be like, okay, yes, everything's going to be fine. But
yeah, I just definitely, I take him to just be that nice guy. Like you were saying, I think he's just the nice guy who just wants to help everybody and trying to find that cure, which he was so disappointed about. So Brian Fernandez had a question for us on the chat, which is, do we think Andrea, once Rick and crew come, do we think that she'll end up staying with the governor or going back with Rick and crew? If she has to make that decision.
What do you think? I want to hear what Vincent has to say.
Where the drinks are at. Who knows with her?
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, I think she would probably stay with the governor. I mean, it's peaceful there. You know, what would you rather be, Woodbury or a prison? I think I would take Woodbury over prison any day. I mean, you get to have fun. Everybody's partying. You got food, drinks.
Booty calls.
Booty calls.
Yeah.
With the main.
We have a man in power.
So why would she leave?
You know, I think Michonne's going to try and convince her. And I think Michonne will try to take her out of the prison. And that may force her to leave. But at this point, it does seem like Andrea's set to stay. If it was just Rick, she'd be like, I'm happy here. Mm-hmm. I mean, she is far happier there than she ever was with Rick and crew, especially after her sister died. So she's definitely a happier person.
I think it just also depends on what she discovers there and then how the confrontation, because it's going to happen with Woodbury and the, you know, prison, team prison, how that's going to go down and how she's going to see it from the governor's point of view and not from Rick's point of view. And I think that will make her decision for her, because she could all of a sudden, like, oops, stumble upon this room with a bunch of heads in it. I don't think she'd be cool with that.
Or better yet, she could stumble upon Glenn and Maggie and they tell her what's going on, and then that's going to change her opinion as well. So I think that she's going to end up seeing something darker about the governor that will make her decide to go back to Rick and the team.
That's a good point.
It does bring up a very important point of, does the governor have soundproof rooms in his house to keep his daughter in check? So when Andrea's sleeping over, having those late night slumber parties, maybe she won't hear any daughters moaning.
That might have changed her mind about him, too. Big time.
She'd be like, do you have a pool in here?
All right, so before we go on to the next topic of the show, I do want to mention, guys, that we appreciate your support and your feedback in any way possible, whether that be going to iTunes or YouTube. Please comment, please rate us, positive or negative. We just want to know how we can make the show better for you guys. Or come check us out in the live chat. You've heard me interacting with you guys. You can check us out. We go on live at 10 p.m. Pacific time, I believe, or that's 1 a.m. Eastern time. A little late, Eastern time-wise. Mm-hmm. Or you can definitely also call in. So please do call in. You can call in anytime, and we'd love to hear your guys' calls. So let's then move on to the prison. And Oscar, this is your area. You've been here for a long time.
Yeah, I'm still here. So
we get to venture out of the prison finally.
But is it nice?
It's like a little road trip.
Is it nice to be out of the cafeteria bathroom? That's what I really want to know.
Yeah, you saw the reaction when Rick opened the door. We told him not to, so you got to learn the hard way. So it's definitely good to be out of the prison.
You know, that's something reading the comics, I just wasn't sure if they would really include, because it's not necessary, and I'm kind of glad they did. I'm like, okay, this is kind of a human element. I'm glad they included it. Mm-hmm. Kind of random, but I'm glad they did. So the first thing that we get at the prison is Michonne outside the prison. She's in a lot of pain because of being shot in the leg, and she's carrying those supplies, and Rick is sort of questioning whether to let her in or not until Carl comes and asks, and she starts needing to fight off the zombies, and we see for the first time her really having trouble and really getting saved for the first time. And I was really happy to see the gunshot actually affecting her and that she's not a superhero.
Right.
That was nice to see.
And I like that Carl was the one that helped her.
Yeah.
Just without Rick saying anything, and he was the one that did it. And I kept thinking back to what Lori said to him, if it doesn't feels wrong, don't do it. Do what feels right.
Yeah, and she's been hard so much, which I love about her character, but we finally got to see a little bit of a softer side, the more human side of who she really is, a little bit more of her personality as a normal person versus just always having to be on defense and fighting.
So. Yeah, I think a lot of people would probably be like, oh my gosh, she's hurt.
Right.
Like, you know, she's not a superhero. Right. She's a woman that is, I mean, she's badass, but I mean, you can, she still gets hurt. She's still a woman. And just because you have a sword don't mean you can beat off people. So
that's true.
I'm glad they showed that part.
I think the main reason I was really happy to see it too is because after last episode when she got shot, she was still kicking a lot of ass until she kind of limped away and decided not to fight off Merle. But she was still had the media moment of kicking ass and getting away right after getting shot. So it was nice to see kind of the payoff of her needing to deal with being shot in the leg and that happening to her. But she does get taken in, as you were saying, thanks to Carl. And Rick kind of Rick's kind of playing hardball there, and mm-hmm. I was kind of seeing a comparison right away to the governor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, especially with the first thing is like, she wants her sword. Again, the first thing, and Rick has taken her sword away, which right. you don't do from Michonne.
Right.
No.
He took our prison away, so. So it is a sort of a comparison with the two. You know, he comes in and he takes over.
But he did open it up for you guys at this now, a little bit later on.
Oh thanks.
I liked you were going to tell us about the quick back to Michonne and Rick picking her up, that there was a blooper with that. And I thought that'd
yeah.
be funny to hear.
We actually just had the rap party this past Saturday in Atlanta. And they showed it. I never even realized it. But he picks her up and he starts running with her and he drops her.
Oh, man.
I mean, he drops her hard. And it was quite funny. What a blooper reel. But if you know anything about Andy, he really felt bad because he's a really, really nice guy.
So is there any chance we're going to get to see this blooper reel at some point?
I might see it on a DVD.
Yeah, that'd be
special
fun.
Edition.
Yeah, they showed a lot of funny stuff. A lot of funny stuff, so.
Yeah. And I'm really curious. I want to see this blooper reel. I'm like, screw next week's episode. I just want to see the blooper reel.
Next week's episode you could not miss.
Oh yeah, no. That one looks like it's things are going to happen.
Yeah.
So... after Rick is playing hardball and he locks her up and Daryl pulls him aside to reveal that Carol's still alive. So they get that reveal and there's that tender moment where Carol realizes that Lori's dead. So characters are still sort of dealing with this death, which is a major death. But it's kind of sad to see because at that point I kind of forgot that Carol didn't know. And I was just like, oh, man, that's right. Someone else has to find out. And that's got to be hard on Rick to have to deal with it again.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It was actually really – it was hard in real life.
Yeah.
I mean, that day was a very, very sad day, you know, to see her go and to see T-Dog go because, I mean, they've been around for so long. And I think it was more – not just for the character, but the people, you know, the, having them around and laughing and stuff. It was tough.
Well, I know they keep a lot of things secretive on the set. How much in advance do you find out if your characters can act for the show?
Probably like 3 or 4 days.
Wow.
Yeah, about 3 or 4 days, and it happens.
Yeah.
That's why it's called The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead.
So the actors are also The Walking Dead.
Yeah. You don't want to open up that script and see you. But, I mean, you do get a call. You're supposed to get a call saying, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, it was a great run, and this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I guess they'd have to so you know how to schedule your schedule because your schedule is based around the show. So you have to have some sort of leeway.
You're like, why?
Yeah, I think
I'm free next week.
I think I saw an article recently on EW that they were saying that the actress that plays Maggie, she was saying that you don't want a phone call when you're doing The Walking Dead because that means that's a bad sign. That means your character is leaving the show.
If you watch, what's this show on HBO, The Football, it's just like the guy comes and gets your playbook.
Yeah.
That's sort of like it.
So when you get that call, you're just like, oh, I don't want to pick this up.
And then, you know, like you said, everything is so secretive. It's like I was filming for maybe 3 or 4 months, and I couldn't tell anybody anything.
Wow.
And it's hard. But, you know, you never want to be disrespectful towards your co-stars or directors or anybody. You never want to – the spoiler.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
want to be the spoiler. So.
Yeah.
Unlike Daryl over here.
yeah, a couple weeks ago, yeah. I got a little piece of information. I was kept to myself.
It's got to be easier also having a secret, top secret show when you're filming in Georgia as opposed to Hollywood and all of that.
Well,
I imagine it wouldn't be.
No, it's a lot of stuff going on in Atlanta.
Yeah.
A lot of things are being shot. We actually filmed that. I'm not going to say the studio. I'm not even going to say the studio. It's a lot. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
So you never know.
All right. So let's move on to further in the scene where Rick is now talking with Michonne once again, and he's telling her that he'll give her food, water, let her leave in exchange for how she found out where they were, and then also eventually the location of Glenn and Maggie. And once again, he's playing a hardball, pressing on her wound. I didn't think she was actually going to let up when he was starting to act that way. I mean, I think this is the roughest we've really seen him on just kind of somebody helped out immediately. Mm-hmm. I mean, outside the prisoners, he was rough on the prisoners, too. Oh, mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's almost a different situation, whereas this is someone that they took in who they were trying to save and help out, who, I mean, clearly she has baby food for them. It seems like she's there for a reason. He's really playing hardball again mm-hmm. with her. But she ends up giving up the location to them and telling them about the town and that there's about 75 people there. And basically she just wants to bust in, and I think mainly for her, get Andrea out.
Yeah, and plus she hates the governor anyway. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think a lot of that goes back to him being a police officer.
That's true.
Questioning people. That's yeah. what yeah. police officers do. So,
if I could cut in, with Michonne actually giving up the location so quickly, I think what had a lot to do with it was when she saw how they reacted to Carol, when she saw Rick break down, because it showed her behind the bars, like, looking at what was going on. Mm-hmm. And it, like, the first thing we see with Woodbury is them lying about people being murdered, like, oh, they were all dead. But this is someone who's genuinely like, oh, somebody is back in part of us. She's not dead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because she knew the governor was lying a few weeks ago about the army guys being dead. She knew that they had something to do with that. So, I mean, she could see the difference. She's not crazy. So,
yeah, that's true. And like Stephen, you said, I think that's a good point, because we do get that moment where Michonne, we get that little brief scene where she walks up and starts watching them, and she's always observing, and we get another moment of her observing everything going on once again. So, I mean, that is good, and that's a smart moment that we get there.
Well, and I wonder if that's, we haven't learned much of her backstory, but her occupation in the comics, if anybody who reads that, it would make sense why she's so observant and kind of untrusting and has all her facts before she makes anything. I should say what she does or not if they decide to go there.
Yeah, and like as you were saying, like before too, I mean, she's always observing before she can judge, when she was looking at the bullet holes at Woodbury and checking mm-hmm. for blood. So she's always really trying to decide based on facts and hard evidence. Mm-hmm. So Carl is kind of watching over Michonne after this, while Herschel is treating her wounds, and she once again is observing and watching Carl and seeing what's up and what's going on. And your character, Oscar, does not trust Michonne at all. And I guess you were telling us that there are also some brief scenes that they cut out.
Yeah, it was the scene when we were getting in the car. Actually, I was looking at her like I didn't trust her. It's just something about her that I don't like. I don't even know why. Where did she come from? So I think that was more Oscar's thing. Where did she come from?
Yeah. Well, I guess your last interaction with random people coming into your group was a bunch of your friends being murdered.
Yeah.
So maybe that factors into why you don't trust her.
I mean, even that goes back to editing. Myself and Axel never really liked Tomas, and I forgot the little guy that I shot.
Andrew.
Yeah,
Andrew.
We really didn't care for those two. I mean, of course, Big Tiny was Big Tiny, but he was a big gentle giant. Mm-hmm. But it... You couldn't tell by the way it was edited that we didn't trust those two.
Can I just throw out how depressed we were when Big Tiny died?
Yeah.
Like all of us were like, oh my God, we liked him. It was also my I was talking to my parents watched the show, and my mom was like, we were so sad when Big Tiny died.
He's nice. He was a really nice guy, you know, but he was too big to be scary like that. So it was just like, okay, what are you here for?
You
gotta sit up here and help us fight, then, you know, bye.
You know what's sad? I think I was more depressed about Big Tiny dying than when T-Dog died. I don't know why. Wow. It's just like, I really liked Big Tiny during that brief moment. I was like, this guy's awesome. And then he died right away.
He died.
Wow.
I like the way you have formulated into the group. I mean, the relationship with you and Daryl and even Carl. Like last week's episode when you guys were kind of walking through mm-hmm. and shooting off the zombies. I mean, it was... I like the way you've really formed into the group and how they respect you now as well.
I appreciate it. I just try to come off trustworthy.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I want to get home to my wife and kids. Hopefully they're still alive, because, I mean, I think it was the second episode. I said I had wife and kids. So
yeah.
Yeah. So that's my thing. You know, forget Andrew. Get to my family.
I hear you.
I think you also saved Axel's trust too by you acting the way you did. It was now they also now trust Axel. So both of them, you follow me,
man. Axel, I love Luke Temple. Luke Temple is a great actor, and I mean, that's my right-hand man.
Actually, something we've talked about multiple times is how much we love the chemistry between you and Axel. Yeah. We think you guys have great chemistry. Did you guys meet at all and talk before the show started? Or because you guys, your chemistry seems spot on. It seems like you guys spent a year together.
No, that's not too far from how he is, and my character is not too far from how I am.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just we click. We have chemistry as Vincent and Lou and as Oscar and Axel. So
yeah.
Hopefully we'll get a show out of that.
The spinoff. And you mentioned just a few minutes ago about a little bit of your backstory, because a lot of people don't know. I mean, I know that you did. We know that you have said that you have a wife and a child, but what is more of your backstory? Like, why are you in prison? Like, what is...
We said in the second episode when we had the guns pointed to our face, Axel actually told, he said, and Oscar, he is in prison for B and E, and he's not good at it, breaking and entering. So I was like, I'm not a bad guy. I just made a mistake. You know, I just made a bad choice. And I think Oscar's choice was to do something to provide for his family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Well, speaking of family, let's talk about the scene where Rick is talking to his son, Carl. And this is the first time that Rick has acknowledged to Carl really about Lori's death, and finally talking to him about it. And it was pretty brief. And Carl kind of acknowledges what he had to do, which Rick says no one should ever have to do that. And Rick is kind of trusting Carl to take care of everybody, and I think has realized how much of a man Carl has grown to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they also discuss the name of Rick's daughter, and or maybe Rick's daughter. We're not 100% sure.
Allegedly. Exactly. But
definitely Carl's sister, which Carl decides to name after his third grade teacher, Judith. Mm-hmm. And I thought this was a nice tender moment to have, especially because Rick is once again going off, leaving Carl alone. So it was nice to see him get a moment in with him where he finally gets to acknowledge everything that happened.
Yeah.
I like the moment with Carl and Daryl as well. I think Daryl's taken on quite a fatherly role with a lot of the younger ones in there.
Big brother or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Or uncle or something, because he goes up to Carl and goes, don't worry about your old man. I'm going to keep an eye on him. And I thought that was really sweet right around that same time. So it shows a great connection that they've created this family unit, even more so, especially now with Lori gone.
Yeah, definitely. And I think something I want to touch on, too, is Rick's character, because his arc is kind of completed with Lori's death. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a mix with in terms of what happened in the comics, because there's sort of two different storylines that played out at once here. But I actually thought, based on what happened in the comics, that he was still going to be really kind of insane acting and upset and sort of a wild card character. But he kind of went through his paces in the last week's episode. Did you guys think that he would have figured his stuff out by now based on everything that happened?
That's a good question. I mean, we're definitely seeing the transition from him becoming a little bit of a darker character just because of what's happened. So I'm not really even sure how to answer that one yet, because I mean, I think we'll find out.
What else can he do?
Yeah.
I mean, now, if his son get killed, I can see him just being going bananas. But, you know, his daughter's there. He has to have he knows everybody's dependent on him. So he has to have a cool head. And, you know, he's the leader. Everybody's following. So he has to get it together.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, again, this is where the comics kind of diverged, which is why I thought that wasn't going to happen, because there's a big divergence just in terms of him being the leader.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of surprised to see that he still does have this active role, at least in this moment of time. But I mean, I'm glad. It's nice to see him back to normal after how many episodes of him being upset and not himself at all. So it is nice to see him back in this leader role.
Well, and I was going to say, I think also seeing Carol, that he kept saying, thank God, I think that brought back a little bit of humanity, or brought him back to being himself. Because before that, he wasn't sure if he was going to save Michonne. You know, you see a little bit of that dark side pop up even when he's pressing on her wound.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think seeing Carol gives him hope, and the fact that the baby was born and is doing well, even though all these bad stuff happens, the writers are letting his character have a few good moments.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. He does still have those dark moments where he's definitely different than he was for season one, where he would have been as harsh interrogating.
Yeah.
But let's move on to actually, we have a question from the live chat, which is from Brian Fernandez. He wants to know if we think that Michonne would be willing to stay with Rick's group, or if we think she'll stray away and fight for herself. And I think a lot of that's based on Andrea. And I think that she's going to come to... I think she's already, even with the way Rick was treating her, I think she's already coming to trust Rick's group and like their group. And I think she's going to end up liking their group and wanting to stay with them.
I agree 100%.
I'm not saying anything.
And Michonne in the comics also gets close to certain people in the group. And I'm wondering if that might happen.
Okay. And once again, we get silence from Vince.
But, and we need something stronger than water.
But we did. But we did see her even thank when she was getting. I'm drawing a blank. Herschel. When Herschel was doing the surgery on her leg or fixing her leg, she even said thank you, which was like a different side that we saw from her. So I think that that was also a way to kind of introduce us to see that she's going to ease her way into this group and be, and have, you know, trust this group a lot more than what she is.
Well, I don't trust her and I don't like her. So
yeah, except it's you that she has to impress.
That's how relationship starts in television. They hate each other.
That's true.
And they're best friends.
So relationship forming then? That's I think that's what Chris is pulling out there.
I love you. No, I love you.
So with Michonne's character, we've kind of commented on how she likes to watch and observe a lot. And we get the moments after this where Michonne, Rick, Daryl, and Oscar are all going now to Woodbury. They're on the mission, the hunt to find Glenn and Maggie. And I don't think Andrea's even been mentioned, but it's specifically Maggie and Glenn. And all this, they have to get on a walk when all these zombies start coming out and attacking, and Michonne gets a chance to see the group in action. And I think this is one of those things that, and one of the reasons that I think that Michonne would stay with the group is because she's seeing how good they are at fighting zombies, and I think it's going to give her a reason to trust them, because they really have become this unit where they know what they're doing and they know how to handle the situation. And afterwards, they end up busting into a house with a horrible smell because there's a dead dog, but an alive dude who is just there hanging out, sleeping by himself.
Minding his own business,
right?
Yeah, minding his own business. And somehow just one random guy just survived all this for a year, very confused.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Perhaps doing a lot of that. I don't know how he survived doing all that, but he did. And it's so confused that he goes to Rick, I'll call the cops.
Yeah.
And Rick responds, I am a cop. Right. But, I mean, this was kind of, I love the show, but this was a weird scene because it's like.
It was random.
What was, what? How could this guy have that no indication of what's going on?
It was a weird day, period, to be honest with you. I can remember that day just like it was yesterday because, you know, behind the scenes, some people actually got hurt.
Really?
Yeah, with the thunderstorms and stuff.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It was a bad, bad day on The Walking Dead, but the guy just, I didn't understand the part either. You know, it's like, okay, this guy doesn't know anything that's going on. I know we was like way in the backwoods, but I'm pretty sure a couple of zombies might have went back there.
That's what I would think.
Yeah.
That's where, that was my thought. Yeah. And I was looking for moonshadow or something on this floor because I was like, this guy is does not know what's going on at all.
Yeah, you know, we you can't stick by the book all the time.
That's true.
Give people something to think about, I guess. So.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe some of his scenes got cut out. They're on the director's floor.
No, I thought when
they first walked in there, that was going to be something to do with Mr. Coleman, maybe.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Mm-hmm. They go into his house, and it turns out maybe this guy wasn't dying of cancer, but they found this old guy and can kind of play it off. Like, that's what I was kind of not hoping for, but I thought that would have been a good connection. And it was a little random.
Yeah,
that would have been. Or if it was maybe some scout or something for Woodbury's group, maybe.
Yeah.
But we do get the great moment where they use him as bait.
Yeah. Which that was nice.
Which Vincent, your character, was not too happy about.
I didn't like that because I just felt like he was somebody. He was innocent. We broke into his house, you know, looking around, and for her to stab him and then just throw him out there to the wolves, zombies. I thought that was cold. So.
He was already dead.
Yeah,
he's a walking dead. I mean, he's a walking dead.
And then that beautifully placed commercial right after that scene.
Oh, yes. We should mention that. Yeah, so right after we see blood and tons of red, and it's actually really, it's a brighter red for some reason, so they could transition to a beautiful Kentucky Fried Chicken ad. Yes,
yes. It matched the color of the logo for Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah. I'll bring some in next week, guys.
Lots of ketchup, please. The zombies really be like eating stuff. Yeah. They give them stuff so they can really eat.
I know, it made me hungry. I was just like, man, I could go for some KFC after this.
Some brains. Brains.
Some new popcorn chicken. So your group, though, you do end up getting away. The group all gets away by leaving through the back entrance, as they are all these zombies are distracted by the Kentucky Fried Chicken laid out in front of them.
Sponsored by.
And before we go on to kind of the juice of this episode and the meat and potatoes of this episode and the Kentucky Fried Chicken of this episode,
yes,
let's talk about the fact that we also have an after blog now at AfterBuzzTV.com, where you can go to AfterBuzzTV.com and there is an after blog. So if you guys are at work and listening just isn't working out and you want to read up on the episode, check out our after blog that you can do. And we have them for all of our shows now, so definitely check it out. So let's move on to kind of a really awesome, intense sequence in this episode, which was Glenn being interrogated by Merle. Mm. And Merle is still, for some reason, not happy about being left behind on a roof with zombies going to kill him. I don't know why, but he's not. And
gee, maybe because he has no hand now.
Right. He's reminded every day.
Right, exactly.
Hey, you know what, though? That is coming handy. That is the best hand you could have during a zompocalypse. Hand or knife? Maybe knife wins.
Yeah.
I gotta hand it to him.
Oh!
Thank you, folks. He's here all week.
Literally. KFC.
I like how they open that scene with the camera following Merle's knife on his hand, leading up to Glenn, and you just know what's gonna happen next. Glenn is not going to be as clean as he is coming out of that.
But what was the one move? He, like, pressed the knife to his mouth. I'm like, what is that going to do?
Yeah, I was like,
it was flat, but he was pressing it against his mouth.
I thought he was going to, like, cut his lips or something. Right. I thought something super gruesome.
Yeah, I thought he was chopping his nose off.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to go for his throat, and I was like, man, is this Glenn's last scene today? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be, like, his tongue, but then it was just a gag technique, I guess. Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Dave, we got a guest call. Do you want to take it?
Yeah, let's take it.
All right. Hello, caller. You're on the line with AfterBuzz TV, Walking Dead After Show.
Hey, what's happening? What's your name?
Adrian.
Hey, what's up, Adrian?
Hey, Watchtower, right?
No, a different Adrian.
Oh, different Adrian. Never mind. Sorry.
So what's on your mind? Well.
Sponsored by KFC.
I know. I'm still reeling from this episode. I was speechless at certain points.
Well, Adrian, did you have any question for Vincent Ward since he's here?
Not really for him, but most for what was happening to Team Prison.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was noticing that while they were being chased by all these walkers, Michonne, she knew that the walker blood, acts as a repellent.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, why didn't she tell them, ooh, cut these walkers open and pour all the blood over you. So,
well, Rick actually knew that as well.
Yeah, he did.
Season one.
Yeah.
Him and Glenn both
it started
had
raining.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I guess it's the case of, do you really want walker blood all over you?
Yeah, right.
I guess that's the case. Is like maybe they're trying to avoid it if they can. And we still haven't really found out if you have a open cut. Well, I guess if you do have an open cut, you're fine, because she had a bullet wound and she was fine. So, I don't know. I guess that would have been a smart way to play it off when you think about it.
Yeah, but Big Tiny got scratched by Nub. So,
that's
a good point.
You know, so I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's a case of, it's such a risk doing something like that, because you don't know specifically what's going to infect them, that maybe they just didn't want to take that risk.
And even with Michonne, it wore off. That smell when she was walking, if you notice, they started.
Oh, that's true. It did wear off. Yeah,
he was just standing right there at the fence, and he smelled
It lasted for a while, though.
Yeah. It could last for a while.
All right, thanks so much for the call, Adrian.
Yeah, thank you so much, Adrian. Call again next week for the finale week. All right, but let's jump back onto the whole interrogation scene, which was I love this sequence, because especially like from reading the comics, I was just like, oh man, what's going to happen? And they really made Glenn a badass here. They made him really stand strong. And I mean, he hits Merle somehow. Somebody ends up hitting Merle while he's being interrogated.
He headbutted him. Which was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, badass. Yeah. And then Merle starts to beat the crap out of him afterwards, but points to Glenn.
And I have to give it up to Steven, well, Glenn. They had a stunt guy. They had a stunt guy, and he wanted to do everything on his own, and he basically did it. So everything you saw, Steve did it on his own.
But this is the hardest I've seen him in all the episodes. I mean, I respect him after this episode tonight.
Yeah, I know he was just happy to get rid of the hat he used to wear on all other episodes.
Oh, right.
It's
like a little boy.
But he still has it in his back pocket.
It is weird to see him without the hat now that you mention that, because he so usually wears it.
Yeah, but it's in his back pocket. The hat is always with him.
Yeah.
It's his Linus blanket.
Yeah.
He's a man now. He doesn't need it on his head.
So not only was Daryl impressed with Glenn, but so was Merle. Merle is also impressed with Glenn holding up. And Glenn trusts that Rickett and everyone's going to come. He can completely trust that they're going to come for him. And Glenn kind of tries to play it up there, that there's a lot more people in the prison. He tries to play it up and tries to make the group sound a lot stronger than they are.
Yeah, he even mentions Shane.
Yeah. He mentions all these people who had died, like they were still with the group. Because it's like, what does Merle know? Which is smart on Glenn's part. I mean, he's definitely playing it up there.
Mm-hmm.
And we then find out, though, I mean, apparently they are a giant badass group, though, when we find out later from Merle that Merle didn't think the prison could ever get, like, taken care of. So apparently they are quite the badass.
Even Michonne was surprised when she was talking to Beth about that. And she goes, you guys took all of these walkers?
Well, even the prisoner said that when we first came out, like, you guys took out all these zombies, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or walkers, rather, so.
So the scene afterwards that we get is Herschel busting in with a zombie and setting a zombie, just unleashing a zombie on Glenn. And I kind of thought this might be it for Glenn at first.
I did too.
Yeah.
Man, Glenn is such a badass this episode.
My man, like, flipped the chair, broke it, stabbed the zombie, hit behind a bed spring. I was like, he was like MacGyver up in there. I was like, what is going on?
Give him a paperclip, see what happens next.
I mean, I think I really like watching the people versus zombie aspect of Walking Dead, which there's not as much of this season. I like this sequence. I love this sequence because it was putting the aspect where it's someone who knows how to fight and then crippling them, and it made it really intense again. It made the zombies intense again, and that's kind of what we saw in the first episode where zombies aren't a big deal. Look how good they are killing them, and all of a sudden you do something like this, it makes them intense. It makes a good sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And you really thought that he might die, and he might eat it there. And I thought he was going to, like, try and, like, sit on the zombie or something, like, sit on his head with the wood
chair,
frame. But
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that, too.
I didn't think he was going to die at that moment. I thought he was going to die later. Or him or Maggie when I don't want to get ahead of myself. But that's when I thought that one of them was going to die.
Well, let's go ahead and jump on that, because right afterwards we get the sequence where the governor's now worried that the group's going to come for them and come for the town, and kind of upset with Merle and wondering what side that he's on. And then the governor goes to talk to Maggie, and we get a totally different intense type of sequence there.
Yeah.
Where the governor first does his usual thing. He acts like the nice guy, takes out a knife and unties her.
Right.
Yeah.
But then just asks politely, can I sit?
Yeah, may I?
Very polite, yes. With a southern gentleman.
Yeah.
And tries to pull that card. Maggie won't buy into it when... Man, I thought good things were going to happen there. Asked her to take her clothes off, basically.
Man, he's about to put the pimp hand down on her, so I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah. And especially, and we'll talk about the comic comparisons a little bit later, but especially if you read the comics, I was like, oh, no.
They're switching.
That's where I was they're switching characters. It's not who we're going to say it was. Don't want to give too much.
But, like, I mean, watching this, like, I thought that he might go all out and rape her. Did you guys think that he might do that? What did you think?
I definitely thought so. Well, because also, he so easily has different people in his bed. He had that brunette girl.
Yeah.
Only days before Andrea is all of a sudden now in his bed. And he's got all these creepy little fascinations. I was sitting there. I'm still like,
what's so
shiver
creepy
dummies.
About that?
Oh, no, I just mean, well, the floating head and stuff.
I'm just kidding.
I just picture him like looking at his floating heads and it like turns him on, and then he's like, Andrea, come on over. Got a bottle of wine here. I'm a little turned on.
Right.
Well, what's creepy about him too, the governor, is that he's able to flip it so easily. Like, you get one version of him one way with Andrea and then completely different with the way he was with Maggie. And just the way he can turn that on and off was freaky alone.
Mm-hmm. Now, at first I thought they might pull like a good cop, bad cop, where he was going to walk in and be like, okay, and then bring Merle in, mm-hmm. or something mm-hmm. to that extent. But they didn't. And I was kind of thinking also during the time, like, man, you just finished doing things with Andrew an hour ago. You can't keep in your pants for like an hour? Come on, man. But he ended up not doing anything to her, and it was purely an intimidation factor. So they start playing hardball.
He did something to her. He got in her head.
He got in her head.
Well, yes, yeah. That's true. He did, yeah. He did get in her head.
Which is worse, almost. Right. He might be worse.
Gave right. The mental you-know-what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all I think he really wanted to do.
I think Maggie would have preferred to gotten beaten like Glenn did.
Yeah.
That's not just hurt. Yeah, it's an emotional thing, and that's sometimes even tougher.
Yeah, so she was quick to say prison.
Which was right afterwards when it's like when Glenn is at stake. Because when it was just her, though, and it was the threat of rape, she still held it together. She was still, do whatever you will to me, I won't give it up. But it's just when there's someone else you care about and there's someone else you want to protect, that was when she gave it up. Mm-hmm. And I almost wonder if the gun had turned on Maggie, I think Glenn probably would have buckled too, because that was when he buckled to Herschel, was when Herschel turned the gun on Maggie.
That was when
he buckled. So, I mean, I guess it's also nice to see how much they care about each other, how much they love each other, is that, man, we're finding they're strong characters, but when it comes to each other, they are so together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I will be really upset if either of them die. I will be. I love these characters.
I'm trying to look at Vince's face right now.
Is it going to be you?
I'm
looking at you because you might know. It's like, you might know.
And I'll put my Oscar face on.
I was trying to get a glimpse of something.
I saw y'all.
Because it's like, even reading the comics, we never know because they change so many things up from the comics. You just never know, which is something that's so fun about watching the shows, is because I have read the comics and they still surprise me constantly. And I love that about the show.
Well, I mean, because if you don't, it's like a spoiler. I mean, the comic would really be the spoiler if we didn't switch it up on you.
True.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
I couldn't have been the only person telling Maggie, shut up, shut up, shut up, after she just kept going on like, oh, we're in the prison. There's 10 of us. There's this, there's that, there's this. It's like, just tell them where it is. Don't tell them about everything.
Right.
Or could have said something about the farm, even, because they did hear that story before. And just say, we built a fort around this farm or something, and maybe they found a military base on the way, and that's why they have guns.
And that's something I was
thinking.
A
lie.
Why not give a fake place? I mean, they're going to go check it out, but you could always say, hey, listen, they were there when I left, and, they decided to get up and leave, wherever it may be, I was wondering about that myself.
But you got to set it up for the next episode.
Yeah,
that's true.
Well, it's also, as Vincent mentioned, it's the whole thing where the governor really did end up getting in her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that was why she gave it away. It's just he was just totally in her mind and in her headspace. So it's just like, I don't think she just didn't think she had an option, or that they would be able to see through a lie.
Well, and not only Maggie's mind, but then at the end, Glenn's, where he goes up and he's like, it's all right, it's all right, and he tries to hug her. And you just see Glenn stirring. And If he gets free, I'd be careful if I was the governor.
Yeah,
the governor's not a little guy.
No.
He's I'm 6'4", the governor's about 6'5". So.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know he's that tall.
He's a tall guy. Yeah.
But, I mean, you see your girlfriend, your lover walk in like that, no matter what your size is, you're going to be really upset.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Your wheels would be turning.
Get you another one.
We find that we now know where you stand.
Plenty of honeys in Woodbury.
There's 72 people. How many of those are women?
Exactly.
And those numbers keep on dwindling slowly as the governors are making these decisions to chase after Michonne.
One of them was pregnant. Who else knows? Do they still have condoms and stuff? And
well, one of them was pregnant, but one of them just died. So trade one for the other.
We got a call from Brian Fernandez. You want to take it?
Hey, what's up, Brian?
Just one sec.
Brian's been commenting on the live chat. How's it going?
Brian, you're on the line.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, man?
Hey, what's up? So what's your question?
Alrighty, I have three questions. The first one is about Michonne. I think she's gonna be I think she's going to stay with the group, but do you think that she's going to take it more along the lines of, like, being with Andrea on staying there in Woodbury or just going on with the group? Second question is about Meryl. You know, although he is a badass and everything, but let's not forget that he did have a confrontation with Rick in the first three episodes of the first season. Mm-hmm. Do you think that he's going to get into, like, a whole bloodbath with Rick? Third question is to my boy T-Dog. T-Dog, why'd they kill you in the third season, dude? Really?
Where is he? This is Oscar here. This is Oscar, not T-Dog.
Well, you were T-Dog for Halloween this year.
Wait, I was T-Dog for Halloween this year.
Daryl was T-Dog for Halloween, actually.
That is Daryl. He's not T-Dog. Yeah,
but so let's go.
I won't say. Oh my God!
Oh, wow. Okay, so let's go with the question about Michonne. Okay. So I think with Michonne, regardless of anything, she's going to go with the group and end up going back with them. I think they're going to try and do a rescue mission and go back to the prison. That would be my guess. And she's going to stay with the group. I think that's kind of what I think. And as we were talking about earlier, and the second question about Merle, I think he's such a. I mean, the confrontation with Rick, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to see that again. I think we're going to get to see that moment, and I think he'll straight up just try to shoot Rick if he gets the chance.
I have a feeling there might be a confrontation between Daryl and Merle. I feel like there might be a build up to that, you know, because Daryl's such a different person now than the way he was. I'm watching you, Vincent, to see if any reaction I get from your face right now. But no, I think
if we can make the camera do a close up on him the whole time,
we're just going to analyze the YouTube video.
Exactly. But I think there could be a confrontation between those two, actually, Daryl and Merle versus Merle and Rick.
I completely agree with you, especially towards the end with that music, and they were asking him where his loyalties lie, and Merle said here to the governor, and then you see Daryl is obviously really tight with this group, and we've seen it for the last two seasons now, and especially in this one, his loyalties are going to lie with him. He's got the baby that he likes.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen with him and Carol? Right. And he's got Carl that he takes care of. They're going to have a bigger butting of heads. I think Rick's going to come against the governor because it's the two leaders.
That's where it is.
And as myself being T-Dog, I know the answer to it.
I do think that Daryl, I mean, Merle's going to get in Daryl's headspace, but Daryl will end up staying with the group because he's so invested in it at this point at the end of the day. But let's wrap up the whole episode with what we see at the end where Rick's group is outside the prison. You guys are ready to strike. And there's this awesome, intense music playing the whole time that kind of carried through into Andrea's scene that she was upset that we talked about before with alcohol. And I just thought like some horrible things were going to happen. And then the episode kind of ended. But that was awesome music to end on, I have to say.
As Oscar now, I didn't like what I saw. I'm like, okay, I just want to get back. Whatever y'all got going on, I really don't want to be a part of it, but, I have to be part of the team. But, my facial expression was like, oh, no.
Would you say you didn't know what you were signing up for?
Pretty much. Because it was huge. I mean, everything out there, Woodbury, the guy standing out there on top of the turned over trucks and stuff was like gigantic.
Yeah.
Well, it's got to remind Oscar a little bit of being back in a prison again because you have the guards with guns and the high fences. And
No, they remind me of that. It was just one little thing, and the prison is everywhere.
Yeah.
I can walk back to where I just came from and be free.
Well, I mean, if you knew what their shots were like, which would be the girl with the compound bow who clearly can't shoot zombies down, you would feel a little bit safer, I think.
Yeah.
If you knew that they clearly aren't the best shots over at Woodbury.
I just knew it's about to be trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, next week's episode is going to be awesome.
I want to miss it.
Yeah.
Trust me.
So before we go on and talk about next week's episode and what we think is going to happen, let's talk about our man over here, Vincent Ward, aka Oscar.
Hello.
So let's just start by saying you start off as a dancer, which is incredible because I do dancing as well. So apparently I might end up in The Walking Dead one day.
I think you two should bust a move in that corner over there. We'll have a break dance off over here up in the AfterBuzz studio. Well,
when you say dancer, that's hip hop dancing, not.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm a b-boy, so all right. So I got you. So then, yeah, and that's a great song, some Luda. And you also were known for basketball. Mm-hmm. And somehow after you went back to college with the scholarship to basketball, you ended up acting. Did you ever think that your career would end up here at a place like Walking Dead when you first started acting after everything that happened?
Well, it was some more steps to it. It was working at a factory, then working at a shoe place, and then falling into acting. Never thought about acting.
Yeah.
Never, ever. Like I told you, I didn't pick it. It picked me.
Yeah.
So and then once I got a feel of it and I fell in love with it, then just started working hard. You know, and over the years, you know, just working.
You've done a ton of plays. And
oh, I love plays, man. Plays is actually my love and passion. So I would rather do a play than anything, to be honest with you. If somebody was like, let's go on tour right now, I would leave right here, right now,
really?
and be gone.
That was going to be one of my questions. Do you like plays, television, or film better, if you had a preference?
I mean, of course, you know, the money is in TV and, and you know, in the movie theaters, but to get that action that with the live plays, it's nothing like it, man. It's nothing like it.
Instant gratification.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
which one of your favorite roles that you've done in theater?
Has to be with Don B. Welch's My Brother's Keeper. I played a guy named Rico, real bad, suave guy. People love to hate me on that. And I always play the bad guys, to be honest with you. I always play the bad guy, and it's because of my voice and my height.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really, really make people hate me.
I see that.
For it. I want you to hate me. You know, when I do the curtain call to come out, if you're clapping, I'm not happy. I want you to boo me.
I'll keep that in mind when I see one of your plays. You'll hear me be there.
In January. Now, were you a Walking Dead fan prior to being cast on the show?
Never had seen the show.
Really?
Nah. Did you catch up on it once you actually did get cast on it?
Yeah, I finally watched the marathon.
Yeah.
You know, after, what, 4 episodes, I finally checked out the marathon. But, you know, like I've said over and over and over, man, I got to know the people.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the best thing for me. You know, and plus the other seasons really didn't have anything to do with me. I'm just knowing what's going on right there in that prison. So
yeah, that's true. And as far as, I guess, when you found out that you got this role, you must have known Walking Dead is as huge of a show as it is. And I think this is probably the biggest role that I could think of that you've gotten. What did you think when you found out that you got this role?
Well, 2 years ago, a friend of mine had told me that you should be on a show called The Walking Dead. And I said, what is The Walking Dead? She said, it's about zombies. And I said, why would I want to be on a show about zombies? And then once we had the auditions, you know, once again, they're so secretive.
Yeah.
We got fake names,
That's
fake scripts, wow. Fake everything. You know, the day I got there, I was like, hey, y'all, I'm Mouse. And Big Tiny was like, wait a minute, I'm Mouse. I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? And so then that's when they revealed that, you know, well, we had to make sure you guys were okay. Like, okay, we came all the way to Atlanta.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we were okay. But, yeah, but, I mean, it's definitely, I always tell people I've done a lot, you know, other, you know, movies and TV stuff. But I actually feel like this is the beginning of my career.
Yeah, I mean, this, I think most people would say a breakthrough role, certainly. I mean, you've had lead roles before and then, you've been in a lot of things, kind of starting with, I think, like Ocean's 11 as a machine gun guy. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this would be a huge breakthrough role. So you think that this, like, big things are going to come out after this?
Most definitely. Most definitely. Because the team that I have right now, supporting me and backing me, you know, I never had a team.
Yeah.
I always tried to do everything on my own. And so, but once you have a team, you have people that believe in you and you have faith and you know that it's your season and you've worked hard and given everybody 100%. And didn't give up.
Yeah.
You know,
that's key.
Yeah, that's very key. Being from a small town, Dayton, Ohio.
Whoop, whoop.
Yep, yep.
We're from the same hometown, so I'm giving Dayton, Ohio a lot of love right now.
You know, you left that place to to better yourself. Yeah. So and that's what I'm doing, and to be able to go back to our little city and do something positive. So.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you know anything about the comics at all, but there's a character in the comics who, as far as we know, they may have cut out, they may not have, who is a really evil character, I'll just say that. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, do you know if they're trying to turn your character into that at all, or if this is totally a separate new character?
I think mine is a separate.
Okay, because I mean, your character definitely seems very different in the show than this character. It has a different name. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I keep hearing this character start with a D or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so no.
You don't want to be this character, so that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Now, you've been doing a lot of press tours and junkets. Has the fans, since they're so hardcore, have they asked you to do anything crazy?
No, they haven't, but they've sent me some crazy stuff, like a stamp of myself to sign and send it back. And
wow.
Nothing crazy, really. Just
no blood?
No. I'll tell you, Norman Daryl used to get a lot of crazy fan mail. And I'm like, a popcorn machine, especially stuff from, like, different countries. It was always something strange, but
yeah.
You know, they really love him.
Yeah, I feel like Walking Dead is one of those shows where you're going to get those kind of fans who are going to be really so into it that they want a bust of you in their apartment.
Especially like Brazil, you know, really, I've had women say, I just love you. No, I really love you. I'm like, I'm scared of you right now.
Hey, but they love you.
Brazil's a great place to be loved, though.
Brazil, Germany, Australia, so... I'm grateful, man. I didn't realize what I've fallen into.
So Sarah Mendoza is one of our fellow hosts, and she's on the live chat. And she has a question for you, which is she loves plays and musicals, and she wants to know if any of your work is online anywhere that she could check out.
You know, something that's weird. A lot of the people I do plays with never record them, but I do have a few on my website, VincentMWard.com. And once again, I have a play coming up about domestic violence in January. Really deep play. Really, really deep play called The Conversation. So,
The Conversation.
That's going to be at the Stella Adler Theater. Stella Adler Theater is, you know, one of the top theaters that's been around forever on Hollywood Boulevard.
So from zombies and people versus people to domestic violence, you are clearly choosing very happy tales to be a part of.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm always laughing, I'm always smiling, so then sometimes you just want to let your hair down, and just like Denzel in Training Day.
Right.
You know, everybody has a bad side to them. So.
Yeah.
I have a very serious question, though. Okay, so if Rick, Oscar, and Michonne got into a fight, who would win?
I'm going to win.
Are you going to use? What's going to be your weapon of choice?
Well, I was about to go back and say, as long as she didn't have that sword. I don't know, probably the axe.
Why isn't Daryl part of this conversation?
Because he's always standing like this.
That's true.
He's ready to go.
Exactly.
Even like interviews that he's in, he's still standing like that in interviews. He really is always standing like that.
Yeah, Daryl is funny.
Yeah.
Daryl is funny.
I get it. Yeah. I'm a Daryl. Daryl girl, fan girl a little bit.
Norm. She actually sent him stamps of himself as well, and things like that.
You should have came to the rap party this past
week. Shoot.
Next year.
All right, so we got to get to comments from the viewers from last week, and thank you so much for letting us know. So last week on iTunes, thank you guys so much. Novak, Marina, LaFrosia, Christopher Sotillo, and Hindi Tina, thank you for commenting on YouTube. We had Frontline Gear 6, Evonis 1, Mr. Funny Manist, The Blue Jellyfish, Anna Long Raptos, Ronan 1108, and Stephen Pike. So Ronan 1108 was answering one of our questions from last week we had, which was, what is the red zone? He said it's the prison would be the red zone. Mm. The Blue Jellyfish wants to know when the break is in the third season, which would be next week.
Next week.
So there's the answer to that question. And if we notice any patterns in when and how the characters will die, which I think is an interesting question. And I don't notice any patterns in when.
Not at all.
Other than I know it's supposed to be when it just serves the story and when it makes sense to the story, but I don't know notice any specific patterns.
Like it's like every three episodes somebody dies or something. Is that what he was looking for?
I mean, maybe maybe it's like
somebody's gonna die next one, you guys.
Well, it's so major when they do die, so it's like, you know, it's very impactful.
I think somebody has to die next episode.
I mean, at this
point, I'm looking at Vincent. This is my look at Vincent face. He's drinking his water.
And the thing
for those who can't see us.
at this point, every character is such a major character too. Mm-hmm. That is like anybody who dies is going to be a major character too at this point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Ann Long wants Steven in the booth. He thinks he should be part of our regular cast. So shout out to you, Steven.
Thank you. I have one question for Vincent when you have a moment.
Yeah, no, please go ahead.
All right, Vincent, there's a huge difference, like, as an actor, like, when you're working with a green screen or as opposed to a major production like The Walking Dead, and they build the sets and they really put you into it. Do you feel as an actor that it really puts you over the edge in your abilities when you're in such a, like, literally you're thrown into a set that is exactly like what's going to be seen?
I'd rather be on the set. I don't like the whole green screen thing. You just pretending and looking around and stuff. But when you have this set, I mean, this prison looks just like a real prison. Mm-hmm. A few times I had to go knock on it and make sure, you know, it wasn't real. Mm-hmm. You know, they put the whole feel with the smoke and all that stuff in it, which almost killed us. But
I feel like that's where auditions have to be harder, because in an audition you don't get to have that real feeling that you get on a set.
Well, that's when the acting comes in. Yeah. You know, and just think.
See, that's why I host.
Right, we from videotape. You know, we was never face-to-face with a casting director. Right. It was basically me and the person who videotaped me.
So. Yeah.
And for some of those scenes, did they give you any training prior to?
No. They might say, well, this is set up. Well, I take that back. My audition was based in a prison cell.
Okay.
Yeah, it was based in a prison cell, so you just got to act like you're in a prison cell.
Yeah.
You just do it.
Well, then how about all the fight sequences? Because before you went, your character went from just Prison Riot, where you could probably, you know, they have like an exact sequence for that, and then later on, obviously, when we saw you fighting today, mm-hmm. your character fighting today, it was a lot more precise. And how does that work? Do they give you combat training for it, or how choreographed are
the
scenes?
No, they expect you to... just go in and do it. The only time you really have somebody there is like when if you're using guns and stuff. Mm-hmm. But they feel like, okay, you should know how to knock somebody upside the head. You don't really need any training for that.
Well, we are from Dayton.
Right. And sometimes I feel sorry for some of the extras, because most of the extras are zombies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we try our best to like pull the punch or pull the hit. Even when you go back to the scene with Tomas when Rick sliced his head, the knife was cut. So it's like it sat right on top of his head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, you never want to put anybody in a position that you might kill them.
Yeah, I keep wondering how a lot of those effects are done, because they look pretty real.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
You know the secrets.
Yeah. I mean, they say it on AMC TV.
Yeah.
You know, if you really and truly want to know something and behind-the-scenes stuff, they'll tell you.
Blooper reels. So back to our comments. We had Raptos from last week. He was wondering how the governor went about getting the town made, and when Penny turned into a zombie, because he wonders if Penny must have turned into a zombie after the town was made, and would people still want to work with him if they knew that he was keeping his daughter zombie around with him? Mm. So he's sort of wondering about that.
I have no clue.
I think actually, again, like how he brought Andrea to see Mr. Coleman, she might find that kind of endearing, that he's trying to save his daughter. That might give him some bonus points.
That's true. It seems like Milton would like it.
Seems like Andrea would like it, too.
I think it could go either way. I think some people could be scared, though, because they're like, what else is he hiding from us? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, some people, like Andrea, who might think it's endearing, but I think also some people would probably be a little freaked out by it, too.
I mean, she thought it was creepy that they had this whole zombie fight.
Exactly.
Like, you know, even though he's, you know, manipulated, said, well, we took the teeth out. It's for entertainment, so.
Yeah.
The world ended. Didn't you get the memo?
I mean, you know what? He's just keeping heads in jars. It's not that big of a secret. Right. Whatever.
Yeah. With the Band-Aid on it.
Yeah.
Dave, what's in your house? Just kidding.
Big jars. Ed, Stephen Pike, thank you for all your input last weekend. Definitely let us know what you think this week as well. We'll check that out for sure. So, guys, let's get to some predictions. And just before, a real quick question from the chat for Vincent once again from Brian Fernandez. What was your first reaction when you got the call to join The Walking Dead? Your very first reaction.
All right.
Okay, that was it. First reaction. All right.
Because once again, I didn't know anything about the show.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to work.
So it's a roll. All right. All right. So what do you guys think will happen next week's episode? I mean, we see everything with the prison is going, and the clashing of the prison where Barry's going to go down. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think?
I don't think everybody in Woodbury that's a big fighter is going to be in Woodbury when Rick Scroop show up. I think some are going to go to the prison.
That's yeah, you're right. Thought. So there'll be like a counter group going out.
Yeah. I think it may focus on Woodbury, and I'm going to guess if you start to notice, some people may not be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And somebody's got to die. I don't know who, but somebody has to die.
I think Andrea's going back with the group. I think that she's going to end up talking to Glenn and Maggie in this just this chaos next week, and somehow she's going to end up back with Rick's group. That's yeah. my prediction.
As long as Maggie and Glenn and Oscar don't die, we're set. I think that they're definitely going to... I think there's going to be the big clash of the prison, and they're going to end up getting Andrea out, and then there's going to be a big cliffhanger as... The prison group is now going to is chasing them, or I'm sorry, Woodbury's chasing them back to the prison, mm-hmm. or preparing to fight the prison. All right, guys, so thank you so much for joining us this week. Thank you, Vincent Ward, for joining
Thanks
us.
For having me.
And once again, I am Dave Klein. You can find me on Twitter at TheDaveKlein, that is KLEIN, or on my website, djk-online.com.
I'm Dario Cristo. You can find me under my name, DerrialChriston.
And I'm Kristen Carroll, and you can find me on Twitter at TheFan, FAN2ZTOSEE.
And I'm Vincent Ward. You can find me on AMC next week on The Walking Dead at 9 p.m.
Oh, that's the best shout-out.
That's the best. That's
the best. Executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff. We would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.